How is the MSP profession responding to increased ransomware attacks? That is the question on today's MSP Zone.
You are entering the MSP Zone, a podcast for the managed services community, covering news, analysis, and interviews from around the globe. Elevate your MSP game by staying in the MSP Zone. And now, your host, Charles Weaver.
Hey, good day, everyone. Welcome to the MSP Zone, where you will get only the raw, honest perspective of the global MSP profession, or at least my take on it. Today, we are talking about the subtext of all of this increase in cyber attacks, ransomware, targeting of customers, going through their MSP providers and their tools. And we've talked a lot about, you know, our thoughts, at least my thoughts on, you know, the whole MSP is the door analogy, right? The MSP is the door that's locked that prevents people, bad people, from getting in inside to the good people and the information that you guys hold precious. And, you know, there's an increase, obviously, on people targeting that door. It doesn't mean you get rid of the door. It means you fortify it. It means you figure out other things beyond the door to protect yourself and to protect the things that are inside that house. But it doesn't mean that you scrap things like your doors, your locks, your security cameras, your fences. You know, those things are all part of a layered security approach. And the MSP is just one of hopefully many security layers that you have in your organization. But I'd like to talk a little bit about the larger context of these increased ransomware attacks. And certainly there's a fair amount of this, at least in terms of the overseas ransomware gangs. I mean, quite frankly, I'm not aware of any domestic, like U.S. domestic, Western-based ransomware groups or individuals. I could be wrong. I'm sure probably somebody out there, but I'm not familiar with them. I'm familiar mostly with the ones that are based in other countries, specifically ones that have difficult or non-existent extradition to the West, specifically United States, where they would face justice for their crimes. And again, this is not an issue of do we know who's doing this? Yeah, we absolutely know. I mean, we know probably actually gang names. We know people in those organizations. You know, it's just a question of can we bring them to justice because of our foreign policy relationships with these countries that host them. That's a separate issue, separate podcast. We're not going to talk about that today. What we're going to talk about is are the MSPs responding? And if so, how are they responding? Because I've started to see and hear some grumblings from people in the IT channel that are, in my opinion, very passive, weak, and in my personal opinion, not the stance that we as the global MSP professional community ought to be taking. And certainly it's not the stance we at the MSP Alliance are taking. And the stance that I'm referring to is legislation. We need more legislation, right? I've heard that from a few groups. I'm not going to name names. You probably know the people out there. They're either directly or not so subtly saying we need more MSP legislation. I have, just to set the record straight, I have always been very clear over about 20 years with maybe some very minor modifications of this opinion, but I have never believed that a lot of regulation is needed to improve the managed services profession. I think that the MSP profession is complex enough as a profession, and there is sufficient ignorance, not stupidity, ignorance, lack of knowledge on the part of people who legislate or develop a policy to understand enough about the MSP community to be able to legislate it intelligently. I just don't think that that exists. I mean, that's why you've had, when professions become overly legislated, they do so with the help of the professions themselves, like lawyers being a great example, right? They set themselves up by creating laws that prohibit competition, because that, you know, that comes through licensure, that comes through admittance to the bar, and other layers of difficulty to keep people out of their profession. And there's a certain amount of self-interest and protectionism that it's going on there. So again, another issue we're not going to talk about today. But I've never been a fan of legislation on MSPs, just because of that level of ignorance on the part of legislators that are trying to do this. Now, you have some notable exceptions where, for example, in Louisiana, they said, you know, years ago, a couple years ago, you know, we need to act on the issue of the MSPs that we have here in the state, meaning that the state government, right, state agencies were using MSPs, and said, we need to create a law that's going to help protect the state. And they acted, and they had, in my opinion, the first couple of iterations were, maybe not perfect. Not a lot of first draft legislation bills are, that they go through modification, and hopefully they go to industry people who know the industry, if there's something that they are not aware of, and they ask for their guidance, and that's what happened with this and with us. They came to us and said, hey, would you mind telling us, about this issue so that we can more intelligently draft this law? And we did so, and we have been doing that for many years with different legislative bodies, some of them legislative, some of them policy making people and groups. But I'm not unaware of the fact that there are organizations out there that do want to have legislation and do intend to pass legislation that would impact MSPs. But I think direct MSP regulation is probably not needed. What I think is more likely is general cyber security legislation that would help the customers and, by extension, the MSPs act appropriately and act in a manner that is in accordance with a particular country or state or province and their goals for their citizens. And I think that that's a far better approach, because then you can tidy up the cybersecurity hygiene, not just of the MSPs, but also of the customers. And all of you who have been listening to MSP Zone for the past year, or have been listening, me reading what I've written over the last 20 years, you know that we have been fighting a battle for more than 21 years on the issue of getting the MSP customer to follow the advice of the MSP, because the MSP can't do everything. They can't force the customer to do something. They can only make recommendations. And if the customer says, no thanks, I don't want to turn multi-factor on, I don't want to back up my data, and then they get hit by ransomware, and then they say, well, you, my MSP, ought to clean it up, right? That's a story that I'm afraid a lot of legislators hear, and they don't understand the difference between the actions of the customer, and they don't know how to separate that from, the MSP somehow is at fault, right? Which we all know is not the case. But back to the issue. Legislation, right, it's already out there. It's some of it is directly calling out MSPs. I think it's going to likely proliferate just because that's what state governments here in the U.S. do frequently. But do I think we need more MSP legislation, going beyond just the basics of what we've seen out of the Louisiana law, which are simple, registration potentially for the state agency, not for private sector business. I'm being very clear on that. I thought that that was a good thing, making that list private so that it could not be used to target the MSP or the state agency customer. I thought that was a good change that they asked for. I think that having guidance on ransomware payments is a is definitely a public policy issue. It's not an MSP issue. That's an issue that every organization, whether you use an MSP or not, needs to hear from their legislators to say, okay, well, is this allowed, right? Because I think that this is like data breach notification, ransomware payments, and whether they should be allowed, whether they should be disclosed, whether you can be subject to, you know, here in the U.S., sanctions if you make a payment to a group that is on a list, you know, that on a bad list. Those are all things that are giving us guidance about the future of ransomware. But I think that that's going to be an area of future legislation that I think, quite frankly, will be helpful. But my quick list, and I want to give you guys just a short review of things that we in the MSP community are doing right now to make not just managed services better as a profession, but to make the customers and their networks and their systems and their lives and businesses better and safer as a result. And people out there, you know, need to know this. They need to know what we're doing. And it's only been a handful of weeks since the Kaseya, you know, attack on the July 4th weekend. But nevertheless, you know, we are acting very fast, and we have a lot of things that we are doing, and we have a lot of things that we have already done that are addressing this issue. So I'll just go through them. The very first thing that I would say to anybody, and this is to the MSPs out there, this is to lobbyists who listen to this program, this is to legislators, policymakers, the people in the law enforcement community. And we have a lot. We have a pretty diverse set of audience at the MSP Zone. But the very first thing that I would say is, the MSP community already has a standard. It has several standards. We already have a customer bill of rights that defines a creed or an ethos of how managed services clients ought to be treated. We already have a code of ethics. It's actually published in multiple languages. It's available on our website. You can go look at it. If you haven't looked at it, you gotta go look at it, because it's existed for a long time. I think it's been out there for 15 years at least. At least 15 years. And it talks about the general guidelines for being a good MSP. And you should read it. And customers of managed services ought to read it. If you write legislation that might impact MSPs, you darn well ought to read that. You should know what has taken place already, because it's good. It's a good baseline of operational behavior for any MSP, big or small. But most importantly, besides the code of ethics, besides the customer bill of rights, we have MSP Verify. MSP Verify has existed since 2004. It is the oldest, it is the only MSP-specific standard that exists today. And yes, I'm aware of NIST, I'm aware of CMMC, I am aware of ISO, I'm aware of SOC 2. We do a lot of those other certifications and audits through the MSP Verify program. But the MSP Verify program is for MSPs. It was created specifically for them. It was created by them. It was created by a large group of MSPs who said back in 2004, we don't have anything that belongs to us. We don't have anything that directly speaks to all of the operational elements, technical and non-technical. And so they set they said, hey, look, we want to do this, and they did it. And since 2004, there are thousands of MSPs around the world who have gone through that program and who currently possess MSP Verify reports that are signed and issued by a third-party certified public accounting firm. And you as a customer, you as a prospective customer, can ask your MSP, hey, I don't know much about you. I've never used you before. Do you have any, you know, any credentials? Can I see your MSP Verify report so I can just see how you handle things like your security, my privacy of data, IT management, vendor risk. Hey, I saw something about these vendors that MSPs use. You know, do you have anything that you can, show me that I'm safe, that you're safe, and that I would be safe if I used your managed services company? The MSP Verify addresses that. And we figured it out back in 2004. That's the thing. This is not new for us. This has already been out there. That's perhaps the biggest thing that if the legislative community out there is wondering what else can be done, you first need to know what has been done. Because what you don't want to do is come up with a cheaper, flimsier knockoff of what the professional MSP community has already accomplished over the last 20 plus years. And MSP Verify, I think, stands as a high benchmark, the gold standard, if you will. It's not a minimal threshold. It's the gold standard. It doesn't mean people can't do better than that. They frequently do, or companies, I should say. But it is very much the gold standard of how I would want an MSP to behave. And it's a very thorough, very transparent look at the MSP. And it gives the reader a lot of assurance, again, because it was signed and reviewed and tested by a third-party CPA firm. It has a lot of great material in it that can be used by customers and by legislators to understand exactly how transparent we are within the MSP community. MSP Verify, first stop, no questions. The next thing we are doing is we've already had a board of MSPs who not just meet regularly to update the MSP Verify standard, but to tackle other issues that come up throughout the year on, obviously relevant to MSPs. But we've created a leadership council, and this is a group of MSP Verify members, meaning you have to be work for a company that has the MSP Verify. And this group has been meeting for some time now, for a couple of years. And they right now are addressing the issue of vendor oversight and vendor transparency in the wake of the Kaseya attack. And we are right now mobilizing and coordinating a line of communication between the MSPs and the vendors that will bring I hate the term bipartisan, but a MSP vendor combined solution to this problem. Because I think that it's a mistake for the MSPs to act unilaterally. I think it's a horrible, even worse mistake for the vendors to act by themselves, because they don't act in a bubble. They have a great number, tens of thousands collectively of MSPs globally who rely on their tools. They can't act without the input of the MSPs. And so we're bringing those two groups together, and we are now presently working on a framework that would bring greater transparency to both MSP and customer related specifically to vendor tools like those made by Kaseya and other companies. And that's going to be a very, I don't want to get too much into the details of what we are discussing, but there are a lot of good specific ideas that are currently on the table. I think that we're going to have something certainly before the end of the year. And this is going to be really important stuff to help bring credibility and transparency and trust back into the vendor, the MSP vendor community specifically, right? I don't think MSPs have lost trust. I think MSPs have to maybe do a little bit more to demonstrate their own internal security. That's been a trend, you know, that happened and started way before Kaseya. But I think now is the time for us to turn our attention on the vendors and get them involved in this process, because we can't do it without them, right? The MSPs can't do what they do without the vendors making the tools that they make, period. So I'm very excited about this. And it's something that, again, not a lot of people know about. It's not like we've done a ton of press, you know, about it, because it's an internal private discussion and project right now. But it is happening, and it's involving many, many dozens of people and organizations from around the globe who are working on this issue. The next thing that I'd like to bring everyone's attention to is, again, it goes back to the standard upon which the MSP Verify is based, and that is insurance. And for, well, at least since 2007, 2008 maybe, MSP Alliance has been very firm about the concept of MSPs having insurance and having specifically cyber-specific coverage, because that ultimately protects them and their customers against, specifically if the MSP made a mistake and it related to something that, you know, happened, let's say a ransomware attack or some other cyber event, all right, not a physical injury. That would be a different type of policy, different type of issue. But those types of cyber-related incidents need to be addressed from a risk standpoint, and they are in the MSP community through the use of cyber insurance. That's why we have in the MSP Verify a requirement that you have cyber insurance in order to get the MSP Verify. We've had this, again, way before the Kaseya attack. This has existed, again, for at least since 2008. 2008 is when we created our own insurance program, but before that, I think we... I'll have to look into the dates of when it actually came into the standard, but it's been out there for easily more than 10 years. And currently it is part of the standard. It's definitely a part of our Objective 10. So the possession of insurance to cover and protect the MSP and their customers from upstream and downstream risk is already part of the professional best practice and certification framework within the MSP community worldwide. Already exists. And no, you're not going to find it in CMMC. No, you're not going to find it in ISO. No, you're not going to find it in SOC 2, the trust services criteria. No, you're not going to find it in GDPR. I don't think it's in GDPR. No, it's not. The only place you're going to find that requirement is in the MSP Verify. Already exists, already been figured out. And lastly, I already mentioned this as part of the Leadership Council, but vendor transparency, vendor certification is coming. It's going to be a reality. There's just no way around it. There's no reason that vendors who sell services to MSPs, services I might add that are for the most part, at least half of it, if not more, of all those vendors make solutions that are sold and delivered via the cloud. Meaning that they're software as a service products. Or for those of you older people in the audience, they are ASPs, application service providers themselves. Yeah, they are. A lot of these vendors are ASPs. And if you know anything about the managed services industry, you'll know that ASPs and MSPs have a lot in common, and not just in the acronym. I'm talking about in their business model, in the one-to-many service delivery model of ASP or SaaS. Those things have, shall we say, nearly identical control requirements to deliver a SaaS product as an MSP does in remotely monitoring and managing IT infrastructure and assets for their customers. Could that be? It is. I wonder if there's a way that we could look at a set of controls that specifically identifies what a vendor ought to have in terms of safeguarding that SaaS application they sell to MSPs. I'm being a little rhetorical, folks. Of course, it already exists. It's called Cloud Verify. Cloud Verify already exists, and that is based off of the same standard used for the MSP Verify, and it already looks at. Currently, there are companies that have Cloud Verify throughout the world, and these are SaaS applications that are hosted, that are delivered in much the same way as an MSP would deliver their services. And the framework already exists. It can be tested right now. It can be rolled out right now. Now, we're going to be modifying and adding to Cloud Verify because there are things that are not really addressed with that ransomware attack that we've been seeing. So some modifications will be required that are specific to vendor oversight and transparency. But nevertheless, the leadership council, coupled with the participation of the vendor community, those that want to participate in their own survival, and finally, coupled with the already existing framework of the MSP Verify, Cloud Verify standard, we have all of the necessary components for self-regulation. We already know how we should behave. Now, enforcement is always the issue, right? Enforcement is something that could have some assistance from the legislative community. But we can, and we already are, self-regulating as a profession worldwide. It's not a requirement. It's not a licensure. I don't think those things, specifically licensure, would work. I've said that before. But we already have the basic ingredients necessary to solve this issue. The next step is participation. And if we don't get participation, then enforcement comes. That'll most likely come through the legislative branch. But to wrap up, don't think for one second that the MSP community, specifically the MSP Alliance, but the global MSP community, isn't taking the threat of cybersecurity and ransomware attacks seriously, because they are. We are. And we are acting, and we have acted. We have anticipated this moment for a long time, and we are ready for the fight. And we are going to continue to make this profession as amazing as it always has been, as amazing as it was back in the 90s when it kind of drew me into it, because I thought this is really special what these companies are doing for their customers. And the way they do it is really unique. And I believe that then, and I believe it today. So I hope that gives you a little bit of comfort. It should. It gives me comfort just thinking about it, just talking about it, that we are acting. Things are happening. Really amazing things are happening. And it doesn't mean that we're going to achieve perfection. Don't set that up as your outcome, because that's not going to be the outcome. We will never achieve perfection. What we want to achieve is constant incremental improvement to make managed services as a profession safe, profitable, fun for all those involved. That's our goal, and I think we can absolutely achieve it. If you like this podcast, we hope you share a like on online, share it with your friends, your colleagues. If you want to see or hear, I should say, different topics, you have a question that you'd like addressed on the MSP Zone, shoot us an email, mspzone@mspalliance.com. We'd love to hear your comments, thoughts, and suggestions, as always. Until next time, this is Charles Weaver with MSP Zone.
Thanks for listening. If you enjoyed today's episode, please give us a like. Make sure you are subscribed to the podcast so you will get notified when future episodes are released. We will see you next time in the MSP Zone.